Good morning. At the very onset of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we have a declaration. We have Kehalach Ma'anya. We first start talking about the matzah. And then at the conclusion of that first passage, we invite in all poor and destitute people. Kol Dichpin, Kol Disrich. We invite people in to join with us, to eat with us, once upon a time, to eat the Korban Pesach as a group, together with the people who had. You invite in the people who don't have. The truth is, when it comes to any holiday, when it comes to life, but certainly holidays, we have biblical mandates. We have halachot from the Torah, which means and teaches that you need to include poor people. Harambam famously in his Hilchot Yom Tov explains that to fulfill Simchat Yom Tov, the mitzvah of rejoicing on the holiday, by definition, you need to include the Yatom, the Almana, the Ani, the Ger. You need to invite in others. He cites Pesukim, V'samachta b'chagecha. It's not only you, it's not only Betecha, it's also inviting others. If you don't do so, says Harambam, you might be Mesameach Kereso, your belly might be rejoicing, but you're not having a true Simchat Mitzvah, rejoicing of Mitzvah. If that's the case, then how come it's only on Pesach that we have a declaration in which we invite others in? It really should and could happen on any of the other holidays. I wonder, in short, whether this declaration has something more to do with Pesach than with the other holidays, and allow me to explain in one of two directions. A first direction begins with a Gemara, a well-known one in Masechet Sanhedrin and Daf Kaf. The Gemara over there is being Doresh, the Pasuk we say in Eshet Chayil Sheker Hachen, Hevel HaYofi, Isha Yerat Adonai HiTetalal, and it breaks it into three, understanding it as representing three different generations. The highest of those three generations, Isha Yerat Adonai HiTetalal, the God-fearing individual, or the woman who fears God, hititalal, she'll have the true halel, the praise, and she's the individual whom we look at as the highest. And the Gemara envisions, as I said, different generations as being represented by each of those segments of the Pasuk. One of those two statements in the Gemara is, who's the highest of those generations? Not the generation of Moshe, not the generation of Yehoshua, the generation of Yehuda bar Eli. What was great about the generation of Yehuda bar Eli, not even the generation per se of Hizkiyah Melech, where they were studying Torah, Midan Vaad Be'er Sheva, the Gemara says, what was the generation of Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli? Shehayu shisha mitkasin betalit echad ve'oskin batorah. The Gemara describes that six people would cover themselves with one blanket, with one garment, and study Torah. The greatness of that generation was the way in which they spread that blanket, they passed around the same garment for six, not one, not two, but six people using the same one in the midst of studying Torah. As a young child, I remember more than once hearing the following message from one of my rabbis, that Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, in his book Sichot Musar, suggests that the depth to that goes as follows. If you want to think about it in the natural sense, how could six people with one blanket find warmth? It's almost impossible. The only way you could possibly wrap your heads around such a reality is if every single one of those six people is pushing the blanket to the other. In other words, the moment that even one of them says, let me cover myself with this blanket, there's not enough space for the other. If each person is pushing it to the other, somehow, in some fashion, you can cover six with one. The message being clear is that when we turn to another, we're giving up of ourselves. The highest generation, in terms of the rabbi's vision of it, is the generation where people thought not about themselves, but specifically and only about others. I suggest in this context that maybe that's the connection to Yesiat Misraim. You see, when you're a slave, and I just finished reading a memoir, a very harrowing, terrible, treacherous description of a Holocaust survivor. It was written in the 1950s in Hungarian and only translated in the last several months. Terrible descriptions, but a person and people who are craving for bread and for morsels of any scraps of food, of potato peels and things of that fashion, and they'd get it and they'd hide it underneath their pillow, underneath their mattress, and they'd wake up or even turn away for a minute and it was stolen, because as slaves, it's impossible or virtually impossible to think about another. You're constantly thinking about your own next meal. your necessary thoughts at all times are about yourself, to think about the other, to live like that generation of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, oh, that's impossible. That's unfathomable. That I'm going to think about another? I'm starving to death in this moment. So much so that pious people, lo aleinu, ended up taking from the other, let alone not giving to another. And we begin Haggadah Shel Pesach then by designating, by announcing, we are free people. As free people, we can and must think about the other. To truly demonstrate what it means to be B'nai Horin means to realize and let it truly penetrate to the depths of our existence. Who am I? What are we as free people? We're people who don't need to think about ourselves any longer, who can and must think about the other. We, as a result, begin Haggadah Shel Pesach with a designation, Kol Dichbin, Kol Disrich, anyone who needs, I'm free, I'm here to give it to you. But maybe there's even another dimension of depth to this as well. And it goes like this. It taps into what we discussed before, tefillah, and that is that when you talk about spiritual dimensions as opposed to physical ones, you talk about the transcendence, rising above space and time. And what I mean by that is, Dr. Masri mentioned to me afterwards, the Gemara in Masechet Yoman Daf Kaf Aleph. The Gemara over there describes how if you work out the dimensions of the Mishkan, the Gemara works them out, there was no place for the Aron. The Aron physically could not fit. What does the Gemara say? Benes haya omed. Somehow it was miraculously there. What's the description? Why are the rabbis speaking like that? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu build a Mishkan in such a fashion? And the answer quite simply is because the Mishkan, as much as it appeared to be physical, was anything but that. When you deal with spiritual realities, there's no space. There's nothing that confines it. I mentioned in that context the Mishnah and Pirkei Avot. When Am Yisrael and the three regalim would gather together, they would be omdim sifufim. It appeared initially as if they were crouched in, stuck in their place. It was very difficult to move around. But when they would bow, there was miraculously some sort of space. What's the description there? Hatam Sofer says, the miraculous above space. Again, the description, I believe, is as they bowed, as they engaged in prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they rose above the physical. That as well as the description of the Doro Shel Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. It's a generation which were endowed with a spiritual mindset. When I have a spiritual mindset, I'm not held back by the physical. I can transcend. And as a result, one blanket, which appears to only cover one, or maybe two, can cover six, because I don't see it as a physical entity. I see myself, I see my life through a spiritual lenses. We begin Haggadah Shel Pesach then by designating, by declaring, my life now is no longer one that's governed and determined by physical realities and boundaries. My life is governed by one of spirituality, by ruhaniyut. As a result, that which I have, you'd say, but it's all I have in the bank account. I wouldn't be able to share this with another person. It's one talit. How am I going to spread it to six people? That's if you think as a this-worldly, material, physical creature. If you're thinking as a ben horin, as an individual who has transcended, who has risen above, who's living a spiritual life, you're no longer confined by that sort of reality. It's the promise of the Torah in so many places. Follow these mitzvot. Test me in some respect. Aser kedei shetitasher. Follow the seventh year of Shemitah and there'll be a beracha. What sort of descriptions are those? How do those fit and match a way in which we envision this world being governed by natural laws? The answer is because if you do it right, if your mindset, if your heart and reality and your experience is one which is not physical, well, then you'll transcend it. In short, we begin Haggadah Shel Pesach by mentioning and inviting in all the poor and destitute individuals, something we can and perhaps should be doing on all the holidays, but it has a particular mention on Pesach, because Pesach is the time, number one, where we feel our freedom, and only a free person can think about the other. Amar's Katten mentioned to me recently that, or maybe a year ago, that Primo Levi, one of the famous Holocaust survivors, described how he truly experienced redemption and salvation, being free, when he was in the DP camps afterwards. Of course, no, he said. It was in the moment where they were giving out the daily rations, where one person turned to the other and shared his food with him. That moment, he said, is when I realized we were free people. We may have felt like or seemed like free people until then. We weren't actually free until we were able to say, this is mine. No, not really. It could be yours just as much. I'm a free person. I'm not possessed by the singular vision and perspective of thinking about myself. And beyond that, along the same lines, but perhaps a step deeper, Pesach is a holiday on which we celebrate our spiritual redemption. And as a result, you cannot and should not be held back by spiritual boundaries and saying, this is all I have, how could I go further? By definition, spiritual boundaries are boundless. There are no boundaries. There's no physical dimensions to spirituality. The Aaron was Benes Omed. The people in the Mikdash would feel that space even when, physically speaking, it wasn't there. And as a result, we can and should spread our own blankets, our own food, our own money to others, realizing that as we tap into this spiritual freedom, we too can and will transcend time.